overarching comment I want to make is that what we're doing here now is a continuation of the health department's mission from day one when this started. We are here to maximize immunizations and minimize exposures. That has been the focus and the mission of the health department. I want to acknowledge Dr. Rupert and her team. They have worked tirelessly in service to the people of this county, and also supported by the state county health department, the state health department, I'm sorry. So I want to start with that. Our latest numbers show that 17,450 MMRs have been given since the beginning of the outbreak in October. That number has increased almost 500 since we declared the state of emergency just a couple of days ago. While these numbers are the most recent provided by the state, we must understand that it may not encompass a total because they have about 14 days doctors do to enter this information into the database. But the numbers in the system are, so the total is probably much, much higher. We have heard anecdotally that the declaration is having an effect. We have heard of crowded doctor's offices and pediatricians as parents. Not only is a positive response locally, but nationally and internationally to our declaration. Public health experts agree that this is the next logical step to deal with this outbreak. I want to point out where we are here in Rockland County and why we're ahead of the curve here. Other localities in Brooklyn, for example, just reported 31 new measles cases this past week, 31 in a week. This is not going to happen here in Rockland County. The reason why we took action here in Rockland, because it became very apparent that the trajectory of success was starting to alter, that our investigators were trying to simply find out what the movements were of infected individuals so we could warn others about the potential compromising of their health if they were out at the same place and time, was being compromised where we were being told they don't want to speak to us. On top of that, we have the holidays coming up of Easter and Passover. It was not lost upon anybody who's been involved in this that this, when this outbreak started, it started with 7 unvaccinated and infected individuals coming over here for the Jewish holidays, settling mostly in and around our Orthodox areas, and doing what families do, enjoying each other, seeing each other, spending time with each other, engaging each other. That created a petri dish of sort where obviously this disease took off. And the health department's been battling this ever since that time. We looked at our approach as being well-timed because the trajectory that I mentioned, that the increasing pockets of resistance we were getting, the coming of the holidays, and after conferral with our health department, we essentially went out and told people if they get that first shot of the two that they need to get, that would qualify them to be exempt from the ban of assembly, of being in places of assembly. The goal here is to get as many people immunized as possible. We want people to enjoy the upcoming holidays in both the Christian and Jewish faith. And there's opportunity here. So with that, I don't know what else we can offer here. The religious exemptions. I want to clarify something. There was an interview done up in Elmira, New York, where the rabbi made it very clear, and this is not surprising to us, but some simply do not believe it. There are no religious exemptions in the Jewish faith. There are no religious exemptions in the Catholic faith. Those are the two I can talk to. There are some smaller sects that do have objections religiously. And we have found that there is room for improvement in the school system. Just some of the cursory commentary made by parents who were interviewed for the local newspaper, Lohud, for example, revealed very clearly that parents were not having their children vaccinated, and it was not because of medical or religious reasons, because they just didn't want to, they wanted to wait, they didn't think it was appropriate. That is not the reason why you should avoid vaccinations. And the onus of that falls on the schools. So I'm asking the schools, I've read the state education law, I'm asking the schools to revisit their efforts in that area to ensure they are complying with the law. There are sections in the law that call for them to revisit the initial objections that were raised, the initial exemptions that were raised. Make sure that the exemptions that you are applying are truly appropriate. One of the things we did exempt in this ban for obvious reasons, because it was the right thing to do, if you have a medical exemption, clearly you are not going to be affected by the work, the ban that was been, the emergency declaration that we declared here in Rockland. We're not here to get in the way of families and their doctor. But we are here to understand for sure that we are not going to allow measles or communicable diseases infect our population, compromise the health of infants, of pregnant women, of autoimmune system challenged people, cancer patients and the such. That is not what we'll be doing here. There are laws here in the county and state. We expect them to be abided by, no more than that. With that, I will turn over to Dr. Rupert for her statements on her perspective on the matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. What I want to do today is update you. We have at this point 157 cases. We have added a couple this week, and it seems like every day one or two more. We also do have, unfortunately, from the last few cases that we have confirmed, some public exposures once again. So I will list them for you. We had an Uber that traveled from Muncie Hub Shopping Plaza in Muncie on Wednesday, March 20th from 1:20 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. The Nyack taxi that initially traveled from the Muncie Hub Shopping Plaza in Muncie on Wednesday, March 20th from 2 o'clock to 2:10 p.m. with a risk of exposure then for two hours after the person was there, so till 4:10 p.m. The next is Rockland Kosher Supermarket located at 27 Orchard Street in Muncie. And that was on Sunday, March 24th, from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. The last is La Familia Taxi that initially traveled from the Rockland Kosher Supermarket in Muncie. That was between 3 o'clock and 3:05 with a risk of exposure until 5:05 p.m. So the times that I'm giving you do indicate the concerning times for those who might have been in those locations, in those taxis, that then could have been exposed to the measles if they are not immune to the disease. I take some questions if you have them. Otherwise, I think we've discussed enough this week that I don't really have any further updates myself. Though, if you have a minute, I'll be happy to talk with you about vaccinations. I was reading something last night that you might be interested in. I know you sometimes look for another angle on this. And a couple of things that I read was that every minute, okay, 5 people are saved because of vaccines. So we're talking worldwide, not just Rockland County, but we're part of the world. The other is that the cost effectiveness of vaccines for direct costs is savings of $14 per vaccine given. This is not just measles, this is all vaccines. And there's another $10 in indirect costs, social costs. So it's expensive. Not only do we want people to be healthy, but the cost to society is great. And 35 million people have been prevented from having the measles by the vaccines over all of the years. That's from when the program first began. So just thinking of those numbers and how it pertains to Rockland County is significant. Again, I'll take questions if you have, or Mr. Day.
Before we start with the questions, I would like the commissioner, I believe the number was 2.6 million died in 1963 when the measles vaccine first came out. It's now 5% of that, this is worldwide, because of the vaccine. I keep hearing measles is just a kid, it's no big deal, it's simply a childhood disease, it's just a fever. Sorry, I'm gonna move over. That measles is not a big deal, it's simply, you know, it's a childhood disease, it's a fever, a cold, it's not a big deal. I would like the commissioner, if she would, because she's a lot more learned than I am in this, I could generalize. I would like for everybody to hear again exactly what the measles is all about. And it's not about measles parties or no big deal. I would like the commissioner to detail some of the things that happen to people who contract the measles both immediately, over a short period of time, and down the road when they get older. Doctor?
Sure. I know you've heard it before, but it's always good to repeat these important facts. So as Mr. Day has stated, measles is not just a red rash with a fever. There are complications. And years ago, people didn't know what the complications were. They just thought you got the measles and the kid got better and maybe his brother or sister got the measles or their friends. What we've learned over the years is that there are many complications and leading to death is part of it. But the most common would be dehydration, diarrhea, pneumonia. Think of that. The most common cause of death is pneumonia. Then we go to things like encephalitis. That's a swelling of the brain. And that's something that we have acutely that can occur. And then, of course, long term, you can see blindness. You can see deafness, you can see, you know, hearing deficits and visual deficits, even if it doesn't lead to both blindness and or deafness. There's an entity called subacute sclerosing pan encephalitis, which is rare. If it happens to your child or mine, it would be 100%. And what that is a horrible, horrible complication of the measles that can occur from months to 27 years later, most commonly 7 to 10 years after an infection. And what that does is that causes involuntary movement, seizures, coma, and can lead to death, and usually is fatal in those children. Years ago, they didn't realize, because of the time lag, that this was related to having a measles case. So we know that now, and those are the complications that we can see. The other thing that we can see is preterm births. We can see stillbirths. And we actually did see a preterm birth from a pregnant woman in our community in Rockland County who had the measles during her pregnancy. She did deliver early, as can occur. She did deliver a baby with the measles. This is what we don't want to see. As a reminder, too, with our vaccine, it's a 3-in-1. So not only does it protect against the measles, but it protects against mumps and rubella. And back to congenital measles, we can also see, and that's a horrible situation as well, congenital rubella. So this 3-in-1 vaccine's a bargain, and it works, and it works quickly. We give it to people who have been exposed to the measles. We can give it within 3 days of exposure. So if you have, if you've been exposed to the measles and you're not immune, we give that, and it will work faster than the incubation period of the disease. Phenomenal. Where do you see that? Where do you see a virus that doesn't mutate? It has not mutated, thankfully. So our vaccines are good. In fact, they're great. One is 93% effective, which is good, but since it's not enough, 97% is what we have with the second. So we all really should have our two MMRs. Herd immunity, I'll just mention that as well, because we're talking about percentages. We look for 95% of the population to be immune so that if the disease does enter that population, it really has much less of a chance of spreading. Nothing's 100%. But I will tell you, the people that we've seen with the disease, they have either no immunity, which is the most part, we have, some have partial immunity, one MMR, or they'll tell us we don't know our status, which to me means they don't have immunity. And the numbers pan out, even with our 157 cases to date, that 3.9% of people who have had two MMRs have gotten the measles. That's exactly what we would expect. So measles is a serious disease fraught with complications. And I appreciate that all of you are interested in this so that we can help prevent this going forward.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, answer your questions.
Cool. You mentioned that the exposure at the kosher supermarket was 4 hours. Is that an employee?
I don't think so. No, I don't think it was an employee. No. No. I think the person was there between 1 and 3, but we had the 2 hours on. So it was not an employee.
Are there specific outreach efforts going on to the Orthodox Jewish community in the county? Because it seems like, in talking to the parents that we're talking to that object to this emergency declaration, pretends it predominantly Orthodox Jewish people that work on it.
Well, this pertains to the whole county.
I know that it pertains to the whole county, but it seems like the issue is, as far as people not following the order or getting the MMR that we're running into, or you mentioned a kosher or establishment, for example, are there specific outreach efforts as well?
First of all, we've had an excellent cooperation from the community. Okay. Our epicenter has been the Muncie Spring Valley New Square area for 6 months now. It's not the only place we see cases, that's the most cases. We've had excellent cooperation. Having said that, we have had and provided community efforts for outreach all these months, and we continue to do so. We have met with the rabbis, we've met with the school administrators, the principals, EMTs, school nurses, pediatricians, family doctors, parents groups. Do you have any other ideas? I'm happy to hear them. And they do continue.
On the exposures,
Mark,
is it that someone that comes down with them, they become symptomatic and then you trace back their movements, or these are people with it or willingly going out?
Well, I think that's two things, but...
But what is... When you identify that exposure, is it because of someone has come down sick after the fact, or was it that someone who had been sick was
both
out and about?
Both. So I guess it really is two things. So we have been able to confirm 157 cases. There's a great deal more from what we hear in the community. Not all cases obviously have been reported, which is unfortunate, because the more we know about them, the more we can go back and trace and see where they were, who they possibly exposed, who we can make a difference with before they would come down with the measles. As I mentioned, the MMR vaccine, we can give that within 3 days if they know that a person was exposed and needs it. We can give immunoglobulin, which is a passive immunity, not active like the vaccine, passive immunity up to 6 days after exposure. But if we don't know about it, we can't do that. That's how we could help to control this even faster, the more we know. We had more cases earlier on that were identified and reported to us, and we gave a lot of what we call PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis, during that time. And we still do as we know about cases. Yes, some cases we learn about later on, and it's past the post-exposure prophylaxis window.
What about with these cooperation with the state
arrests
department?
Or fines issues?
What's been the involvement of the state health department with this? Are they actively in the community monitoring what's going on? Are you having ongoing communication with them? Are they here? Are they? What's been that connection like?
They have been here with us on site at the health department in the community. They have sent their staff down. They have sent physicians to us. Directors of their departments have come down. We still have staff from the metropolitan region who are in our office right now. We were there this morning when I was there. What they do is they have helped us in many, many ways. They've been wonderful support. Sending people out into the community, literally going to see patients who have the measles, drawing their blood, doing a nasopharyngeal swab in the back of the nose, seeing them and clinically diagnosing. They've come to us to the community outreach groups. Dr. Zucker, our Commissioner of Health of the state, has been with me to meet the rabbis and the school administrators, and we've met with the doctors and EMTs and nurses I mentioned to you before, on site. Also, we've had incident management calls all along since October. We were on calls twice a day initially, including the weekends, then daily, then it's tapered down to now it's once a week. They have been a partner in this, and good guidance, not even just a partner, but providing very good guidance. We've been very grateful.
You said it was unlikely for any arrests or fines. Were there any arrests or fines in the last 2 days? None?
Nope. Have there been any specific enforcement patrols or activities actually undertaken?
Right, let me be clear about this again, okay? There have been no directed patrols, there's been no arrests, there's been no efforts to go out and find if people have vaccines or not. That has not and is not and will not be the purpose of what we're doing. I can't be more clear than that. I've spoken to the sheriff, he's fully understanding and in agreement with that. We spoke to the district attorney and he will take things on a case-by-case basis as necessary. What was driving behind this is we're putting the force of law behind the health department's mission. That's exactly what we're doing, and there's a reason for that. When something is a law, and by the way, the penalty of the violation of the declaration of the emergency declaration is proscribed by law. It's a cudgel. We have no control over lowering it, raising it. That's just what it is as part of the emergency order. I liken this to my background in law enforcement. I've arrested people for murder, for robbery, for rape, for burglary, for gun possession, for shootings. I've never arrested anybody for jaywalking. Jaywalking is a law. And typically, most people don't jaywalk, except on busy days in the city, obviously. But the fact of the matter is most people abide by the law. But the force of law says if an officer sees something, he could say, hey, stop that, okay? Most people in Rockland County abide by the law. When they hear it's a law, they will go and do it. And that's exactly what we see happening now. People are realizing this is serious. Thankfully, with all the attention we're getting from the media, you've been partners in that, people are understanding this is serious, that they need to be immunized. And that is exactly what's happened. So I can't even begin to foresee a situation where we'd be going to district attorney. It would take an extreme situation for it to go just to referral to the DA, and that would be it. So I just want to reemphasize that we're gaining compliance by the fact that we're telling law-abiding citizens, law-abiding people in Rockland, that is the law to go forward and get your children immunized. And we're giving them a reason, in particular, beyond the medical reasons. We have upcoming holidays in two major faiths in this county. It's the time to do this is now, whether you be Christian or Jewish. And in fact, the lady I mentioned earlier about the school, that was not a Jewish family, that was a Christian family. So it's an opportunity to do two things. Enjoy the holidays, enjoy your families, and also drop the scourge of measles down so we don't experience what's happening in Brooklyn right now.
You talked about the 500 plus vaccines since
Is there any way to sense whether the mindset has changed, that people who were resistant are coming forward? And how do you reach people who still say, I'm resistant, I don't want to do it?
Well, I think anecdotally we're seeing a mindset change, grudgingly for sure. I mean, there's no question. People don't like being told what to do. That's just the reality of, you know, of what life's about. But they're accepting of it because of Laura Bonney. You know, as far as what the numbers, the fact that these numbers we have so quickly after a couple of days tells me that people are getting the idea and they're understanding they need to get this done. And I see a continued uptick in these numbers. It's just my sense right now, but time will tell. And we'll make judgments going forward as circumstances dictate.
What about clinics coming up? Resistant, though, is there a way to make further effort to reach people who still say, not gonna do it, not my kid?
We are gonna make every effort in conjunction with our partners, for example, in the school system, to ensure that children are vaccinated. I you know, will there be resistance at times? Absolutely. This is not a perfect world. It happens. But we are doing everything in our power to ensure that existing law is abided by. And that really starts in the school system. And we've had this conversation already, and we'll continue to have the conversation to ensure that children are getting vaccinated for the reasons that are prescribed by law.
Anecdotal information.
County Attorney Tom Humbach.
Just from my observations and personal experiences, I can also tell you that institutions, whether they be doctor's offices, schools, and places of business, are also, their consciousness is raised because of this state of emergency, and they are asking their patients or their customers or their constituents to please let them know if they've been immunized or not. And that is bringing it to the people and just raising the consciousness about the whole thing. I know that one child's dentist sent out an email to all their patients, saying, hey, "Please be advised that you know you're obligated to tell us when you're coming." So that raises the consciousness of this problem in the eyes of all the people, which then leads to an effect. That's what we're hoping for.
Are you already thinking about what's going to happen after this ban at 30 days? Do you expect this 30-day ban to be sufficient, or could this be extended? And if so, what would be the process, or what would be the trigger to extend this ban?
The extension of a ban would be issuing a second emergency order. A order lasts for 30 days or until it's withdrawn. I'm not going to engage in conjecture as to what we'll do, if, maybe, possibly, depending. We will take a look at where we are. And just like we did here, we'll make the appropriate decision, in spite of some corners for criticism, to do the right thing for the health and well-being of the people of Rockland County. Again, what drives this is the advisories I get from Dr. Rupert and her team. What brought us here today with the emergency order was a judgment made governmentally by me in support of the health commissioner and her team to address a problem and get it done. And that really is the best way I can describe it.
Question in the back.
Thank you. How do you fight misinformation specifically? There are people concerned about personal freedoms who are right. resistant because they're just resistant. There are also people who have disagreements about the science.
Right.
And how do you have that conversation with people individually?
Okay. One of the main ways we do this is you're partaking in it right now. We can only repeat over and over again until we get the point across what is and what is not. There are some people who are going to believe what they wish to believe regardless. You know, I lightheartedly said before that if you're going to go to People Magazine or Jenny McCarthy or Bob De Niro for your medical advice, I don't know what to tell you. There's no way I'm changing your mind. Some people have done their own research and they have their own findings. Those findings, frankly, are really not legitimate medical findings, but in their mind it is. People believe a certain way. To crack that nut can be very difficult when people's minds are set. And all we can do is make good faith efforts to get across to them that the vaccine that we are offering is a efficient vaccine. It gets the job done. It protects not only your child, but everybody else.
I have one.
And I'll add to that if I could. The vaccine is safe. And we keep bringing that message right. forward. And I think little by little, we're getting to those who certainly have been on the fence. Those that have delayed vaccination or weren't sure, that's the group we're getting to. That's a larger group than the group that completely will not vaccinate, the anti-vaxxers as we call them. It's a smaller group that it's a difficult group to crack, if you want to say. But we, the middle group who have delayed, who have been on the fence, they're coming in, and they're coming in droves. They really are. Look, 17,500 vaccinations that have been given, many, many by the, to those who were uncertain if they should receive it, or they waited longer, or they wanted to stretch out the vaccines, and now they're not, they're getting it. And by the way, back to stretching out vaccines, not a good idea. It causes increased risk of exposure. And the other thing about vaccines, and we also try to tell those who are questioning this, is that the amount of antigen or proteins in these vaccines today versus in the 1960s is remarkably less. So the safety of the vaccines has been researched over all the years. The system that we have now of giving them and the schedules that we have been tried, true, tested, and safe.
And one question from overseas to Italy, to the county executive.
Say it in English, please.
I will.
I'm only half Italian, so.
Would you recommend other authorities, both in the U.S. and in other countries, including Italy, that are that have their own measles outbreaks, would you recommend that they follow your example and declare a state of emergency?
I want to talk to the Premier of Italy and let him know what it's going to be like. But no, I'm not going to tell any other municipality nor country what they should do to address the problem. What we're doing here is tailored for the circumstances that we have. And I think that's the most important piece of this. That's my background, operations. When you see a situation and it's being developed and you get good information from the people who are getting the job done for you, and we have that with the health department, when you realize that the strategy is not working, you are demanding upon yourself doing something to change the trajectory to successfully complete the mission. That is really, in its simplest terms, what this is all about. What I would say, though, is that I would urge other countries to make sure that people are vaccinated. I would urge the United States government to ensure that when people come into this country, they are vaccinated against diseases. Let us not forget, that is how this all started. We did not have people coming here who were vaccinated, and I find it kind of troubling that when you go overseas, other countries tell you, you have to be vaccinated against this, that, and the other thing. And you have to, or you're not going over there. We should start considering the reverse trip.
Thank you. No more questions.